Praise the Lord. It's good to be back in God's house tonight, isn't it? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just give you grace, honor, for everything that you're doing in our lives. We thank you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you bring things to us to be able to deliver to your people. And Father, as we go forth tonight, I pray that your anointing would go with this teaching into each and every heart, mind, and soul that's under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Father God, for taking control of my voice, making it crystal clear. And I thank you, Father God, for your works being done. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I have the privilege of being able to talk to you about an article by Lauren Sanford that Pastor Barber gave to me on Thursday of this week. So if any of you have done anything, this article is not against you. We don't make messages up against you. So if something comes out that you have done and you're guilty of it, it really is the Holy Spirit. I was talking with Catherine about this week. People don't understand the depth of the word, and they don't understand it because they accuse us of doing these types of things. But God can put a message on my heart to give to you all, and in my mind it's like, yeah, it's got to be fire, brimstone, damnation, condemnation, and all of that just coming down to you. And then I stand up here, it's totally different than what I'm putting it together in my spirit. And then there's other times, there's something that's light, goofy, laughy, and because of what's going on in here in the atmosphere, it's the fire, hell, and brimstone. So you really have to understand that we're being spirit-led. And there's a need that needs to be addressed because we're a prophetic church. And God may be trying to address one person in the congregation. But I have learned through my years of being here that you can always pull something out of the message for yourself. I've learned so much because I come into the word with an attitude. There's something in there for me. There's something in there that I need to pull and glean from because it's going to help me grow. And you should have the same attitude as a leader. As a leader, you're always trying to look to make yourself better. And it's not out of pride and it's not out of competition. But the deeper that your anointing is, the more people that you'll be able to help. And ultimately, it's all about that, because the more people that you help, the more that God gets glory for everything that he's doing. And you have to learn these things that we're going to be talking about tonight as a leader, because you're going to be training other people. And if I can't impress upon you enough that the things that you experience in your walk, God is setting those experiences up for you so that you minister to other people. They're going to go through the same trials, the same tribulations. It may not be the same type of scenario, but basically the things that you go through will be able to help them to overcome. I thank God for Pastor Barbara because she's a strong leader. She goes through a lot of hell on a regular basis. And because of that, she can look you dead in the eye and tell you, this is not going to kill you. This is not going to break you. Yeah, you messed up. Get up and keep going. And because of that, the different things that come upon my life, I make a lot of dumb mistakes. I'll just be honest before you. Sometimes I think I hear God saying something and I'll go running. Yeah, this is what I hear God do, telling me to do. And I missed it really, really bad. And there's a tendency when you're a leader to shoot yourself in the foot, beat yourself down, because it's like, man, how could I be so dumb and so blind? But you have to learn this principle as well. Identify the mistake, get to the root of it, and then move on. You know, it wasn't that God didn't know you weren't going to do it, but he allowed it to be there so that you could know it was there, so that you could eradicate the root out of your life. Every one of us have character flaws that we're born with, whether you want to admit it or not. And these character flaws are there because it's meant to keep you at the altar. It's meant to keep you humble before God. God, I have this issue, and if you don't take care of it, if you don't set me free from it, I'm going to make you look bad. So keep this in mind as we go through this teaching tonight. There's a false doctrine concerning leadership in the church that you need to be aware of in this hour. Years ago, Dr. Rebecca Brown, author of He Came to Set the Captives Free, learned that witches and warlocks have infiltrated the church at every level, even in the highest levels of leadership. Now, you might not think that this is a bad thing, but this infiltration allows the witches and the warlocks to take a good doctrine and twist it into a bad doctrine. Doctrine is just the old English word for teaching. So don't get upset when I say the word doctrine. This practice that the witches and the warlocks do and have been doing has gone undetected for a long time in the church because the church has not had discernment. We like charismatic people. We like people that make us feel good. We like people that will keep us happy. So we do this. Thank you. So we do this in order to keep people satisfied and people coming back. We will set somebody up and they'll be smiling and laughing, but they're not teaching you the truth. They're not preaching you the strict and pure word of God. So that word comes out tainted, and if the people that are in that body don't know the truth of the word, they'll accept it, and then they'll start teaching it. So then they'll start teaching it wrong, and then the next generation gets it, they'll teach it wrong. So by the time it gets down to the third or fourth generation, the scripture is totally twisted. Homosexuality is one of the biggest things that you can think about that people have taken out of the word, taken it out of context, and twisted it. So that's an example, and this thing that we're going to talk about tonight is another one. 2 Timothy 4, 1-5. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So, the witches and the warlocks take real truth and twist it just a little bit and make it a brand new teaching altogether. The perfect example of this is Adam and Eve with the serpent. They took one sentence out of context and it got them in trouble. The serpent took one thing out of context. God directly spoke to Adam and Eve and they fell. Because the witches and warlocks have become so entrenched within the church, it is very hard to undo what they have done. People with religious spirits are some of the hardest people to deliver because their whole belief system becomes wrapped, warped, like the word says. Got a typo there. Their whole belief system becomes warped, they think, we see this manifesting in several different ways. They have to do a certain thing. They have to pray a certain amount of time. They have to read a certain type of Bible. And all of it's a form and a fashion. And you as a leader, you're going to see these types of things in people. And you're going to have to gently teach them, this is not God. You're going to have to gently teach them that God is not putting all of this extra burden upon you to do these things. Yes, you have a responsibility to learn the word, to pray, to fast, and to be before God's face. But if there's something that's off balance with it, that's wrong. And that's going to be on the side of religious error. 2 Timothy 4:4 says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. To have someone turn away from the truth opens them up for all types of deception. That's very, very dangerous. God made a commandment, and the people in the church who don't know the Spirit of God will not pick up on what's wrong with the Scripture. This is why it's very, very important that you know what the Scripture says for yourself, so that you can read it, interpret it, and find out what's actually going on. The infiltration of the witches and warlocks has allowed for the total twisting of God's holy word in such a way that it causes confusion and brings division. This division is on two levels. It divides members of the church from the body of Christ. This has caused so many church splits because of people twisting the word. And then it divides those same members from fellowship with God, because they start arguing amongst themselves. They start arguing about the word. And then pretty soon they don't want anything to do with God. As leaders, you must constantly ask God to give you discernment. This is something that's seriously lacking in the body of Christ right now. We have to have this discernment in order to be able to sift through the true and the false. And it's getting so complex right now with this discernment thing, because devils can be talking to you, and if you're not in the spirit, you're not knowing if it's the devil or if it's the person. So we have to ask God to give us His wisdom and His discernment to be able to decipher what the truth is. And the amazing thing about that, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing to bones and a marrow, and it pierces the heart. So you can use the word of God to figure out if the person is walking in the truth. If you don't use the word of God, the Spirit of God should be leading you and telling you what you need to do. You need to be able to discern by the Spirit who and what you are dealing with. Now, Lauren Sanford sent out an article to the body of Christ on this specific attack against godly leadership in the church. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. God doesn't have two heads, neither should his church. He wants everyone to follow his authority. His authority is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and whoever your assigned pastor is. That's true biblical authority. And then everybody else up under that. So, If you're doing things, or if you see people doing things out of that order, it is incumbent upon you to first pray and then find out from your leadership what you're supposed to be doing. If you're to intervene, then follow what your leadership's instructions is to do. If they say hold on and wait and pray, you hold on and wait and pray. And see, this is another thing that's bad with the body of Christ, because we see a problem, we don't pray, we go and react, and we make it worse. We mess it completely up. And this is where you have to be teamed up with godly leadership who is really praying in the Spirit and listening for God so that you don't make those mistakes. I was telling somebody this weekend, a couple of months ago, I was really frustrated with this one person, and I wrote an email to Pastor Barbara, and was like, we really, really need to get this person, and she didn't respond to it. So I knew, leave it alone. And sure enough, the time came when it was time to deal with it. She said, go deal with it. So me and my flesh, I would have got in there, muddied the waters, and everything would have been destroyed. The person would have been destroyed. But because the godly leadership knew what to do, was praying and interceding already, and I did get sent to go in there, it turned out okay. So I'm saying this to say, if you're not submitted to the leader that God has placed over top of you, you're going to destroy people. You're going to hurt people. And you need to start looking at this from the perspective of, these are not your sheep that God has entrusted over you. They're your leader's sheep. So you should have the same heart, the same mind as your leader. And you should be doing the very exact same things that your leader does, so that when you're ministering to them, they see the same flow. All too often, people go and they minister out of their flesh to someone else's sheep, and that brings more confusion, strife, and discord to the person, and it only winds up hurting them more than it does building them back up. So, to the degree that you're in unity with your leader, is going to be the degree to how you help build the sheep that are up under his or her care. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 30. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to that question is no. Not everyone has all of the same gifts at the same time. There are some people whom God gifts with all of the gifts. But most people are given a gift and their character is strong enough to support in the spirit realm. Most people are given a gift or gifts that their character is strong enough to support in the spirit realm. So if God has entrusted you with prophecy, that means he sees that your character level is where he can trust you, where you won't damage his sheep using the gift of prophecy. But if he's not allowed you to do that, there's something that you need to clean up on the inside of you so that you're not sowing your junk, your mess, into other people. Same thing with deliverance. Same thing with flags. Because whatever's inside of you is what's going to be poured out into the people. And God wants us to have clean streams so that the people can grow and go where they're supposed to go. God is not going to give you an international ministry if you cannot demonstrate faithfulness with serving in the ministry that God has placed you in. He won't. He really won't. You can try, you'll spin your wheels, you'll do all kinds of things, but you'll make yourself look foolish. You will destroy yourself and the other people with you. You have to watch out also for people who will give you gasoline. You know, they will tell you how wonderful you are. They will tell you how deep your prophetic word is. They will tell you how healing power just flows out of you. You have to be careful of that. Because as a leader, you have to see and discern what the motives are of the people who are talking to you. You know, are they really being led by the Spirit to encourage me? Are they being sent by the devil to tap into the pride that I may have hidden down on the inside of me and get me in a trap where I start dishonoring God? Practical experience, practical things. If you're not careful, you will destroy yourself and other people with you. You must have the fruit of the Spirit in accordance with your gift level, or you will not be able to handle what God has given you. Let's look at Satan. Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Satan fell because his anointing outgrew his character. Satan fell because his anointing outgrew his character. In his mind, as you see from this scripture here, he thought he was greater than God. This is a trap that leaders fall into, because God will start using you in the house. He will start doing signs, wonders, and miracles in you. And then in your mind, you will start thinking that you are greater than the leader that God has put over you. When you start thinking that way, fall. And it's not anything that your leader is doing or wanting, but it's because you fell into this trap. Your character is not ready. It's not developed. It's not where God wants it to be. So you're open for all types of suggestions, subliminal messages to come your way, straight from the devil. This is real. This really happens. This is one of the most challenging things for someone who is anointed: staying grounded. You, as a leader, must always check your character beyond a shadow of a doubt. If your character is off, everything else in your life will be affected by your character. It will mess up your relationships at home. It will mess up your relationships at work, school, in the church. You will draw cliques to yourself. You will draw Jezebel spirits to yourself. And these Jezebel spirits will bring other spirits. And all of them are aimed at dishonoring God. Really doesn't matter about you. If they can do something to make God look bad, they're going to do it. And then there you are in the middle of the trap, wondering what happened. How did I get here? Character is important. Look at this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Look at what Peter shares here, stresses here, in verses 3 to 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have the anointing. You know, if God so chooses to use us, there's a lot of things that we as leaders, we as individuals in the body of Christ can do. That's a great amount of responsibility. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So, we learned this morning that God is bringing his glory. That's a part of him. So, we're going to be experiencing his glory because we're receiving this promise. You may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And this gift that God has given to us gives us the ability to escape the corruption that is in the world. So that Peter then goes on to say this, because God's divine power has been given to us, we have a part to play in this. We have something to do, and let's see what that is. Continuing on in 2 Peter, verses 5 to 11. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So you forgot where you came from. If you're not working on your character, if you're not trying to develop your character. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So because God's divine power has been given to us, we must do the following or we will fall. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Do you see how Peter is talking about developing your character? You've been given the anointing. You've been given the gifts. It's our responsibility as leaders to develop that character so that we can carry the full weight of those anointings and the gifts. If you want God to move in your ministry, you have to be constantly working on these things. Constantly. It's never ending. You don't get to the part where you've got knowledge and you're transferring to self-control, and you don't have to go back all the way to the beginning and get virtue and knowledge again. Each level that you go on, you have to work through all of these steps in order to maintain it. Because higher levels, higher devils. Higher levels, higher level of character that you need in order to carry the anointing that God has for you. Do you realize that we're going to be given the power and the authority to be able to speak to someone and command them to come up from the grave? Have you ever thought about that? Do you realize we're going to be given the power and authority to someone who has disrespected God to say, angels, come take them out? Have you ever thought about that? Is God going to give that to somebody who's flaky? No. Because you'd run around doing your own thing, and you'd be killing off innocent people. So this character thing is serious. You don't reach a point where you say, okay, I have enough of any of these items. The second that you stop working on these things, you're in trouble. And you're in danger of falling. Okay, that was foundation for what we're about to get into. Sanford exposes a false teaching that is moving through the body of Christ today. It is a false model of church authority, where everyone in the church is equal, and there is no hierarchy of leaders in the body of Christ that we're all supposed to follow. The belief brings on a demonic mindset that defies God's order in his church. People have gotten the idea that churches and ministries should be governed by a team of co-equal leaders. People have gotten the idea that churches and ministries should be governed by a team of co-equal elders. This is not of God. You're going to see this as a leader. If you believe this, then you're out of order. This teaching is splitting churches left and right. And as a leader, you need to be aware of what we read in 1 Corinthians 12:27-30. Now you are in the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, they're on the top. Second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, ministration, varieties of tongues. There's an order to the things in the Spirit. And God has appointed this. It's his divine order. It's his divine way. There cannot be co-equal leadership. It cannot exist. The only co-equal leadership is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're at the very top. There has to be order in God's house. And you cannot do what you want to do and expect God to bless it. Same thing when you're in leadership. You can't just go off on your own authority and do something in the name of whatever fellowship you're a part of. You have to realize that you're carrying that fellowship's name. You're supposed to be carrying that fellowship's vision. So whatever church you're a part of, you need to be fully aware of the vision. You need to be fully aware of what your pastor expects out of you. And you need to be doing it. You need to be doing it. If there's rules of the house, you need to know every last one of those rules. You need to be following. You need to be obedient. If you're not being obedient to the things that God is asking you to do to your leader, what's going to happen when you start a ministry of your own? It's not going to be successful. And here's the other thing that's really going to, this should cinch it for you. The people that come in to help you, they're going to do the same thing to you that you did to your pastor. I'm dead serious. So if you cause a whole bunch of strife and hell and rebellion for your pastor, and you do step out there, you're going to get the same thing. You really are. So you have to realize that you're in error and get it fixed and corrected and then move on. The body of Christ has a hard time with being obedient and submitting to authority. In the past, some church leaders were extreme, and we know this. We know that some church leaders went to manipulation and control. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about when you know you have good godly leadership that's doing, following the Spirit, doing things in the Spirit, and they're only asking you to do what the Spirit of God is really asking you to do. 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 to 11. This is the story of David. David and the ark. And we're going to, I want to look at this because this is further proof that God has an order and a step to what he's doing. Because David was excited. They had just won this battle. They got the ark back. They recovered it. But they did not follow all of the rules that God had set up for them transporting the ark. So 2 Samuel 6, 1, verse 1 to 11. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from the Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a brand new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, fir, wood, on harps, stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cisterns and cymbals. When they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah. God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God, and David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So here is David doing the will of God, moving the ark back to Jerusalem. They slap the ark of the covenant up on a brand new cart. They get the people together, sing some songs, have a nice little parade going. This has to be God's will. God never shouted down out of the sky and said, "David, something's wrong." He never did that. Nope. He let David do his thing in error. He let David do his thing in error. Leaders, you have to be aware of that. Sometimes God will let you go and do your thing in error. And someone can die from it. The oxen stumbled while pulling the cart, and Uzzah, out of respect, tried to keep the ark from falling, put his hand on it, and died on the spot. This caused David to be mad with God. But David had no right to be mad, because David did not take the time to find out how to properly transport the ark. It was his fault. He was the leader. Leadership brings a lot of responsibility. A lot of responsibility. I brought this out because I want to show that God does not break his own law for anyone, no matter how much he likes them. And we know David was a man after God's heart, but he still killed Uzzah because David was out of order. This proves that God is a God of order. Now, you can read in Exodus 28 and Exodus 29 all of the rules that God gave to Moses. Excuse me. That God gave to Moses in regards to how the priests were to dress and behave. If God were to go to all of this trouble for the priests, and the church is still the same church today, wouldn't it make sense that God expects for there to be order in his houses today? So where did they come up with this co-equal doctrine from? Straight from the pits of hell. Sanford says that this false teaching of governance grew out of reactions to leaders who have led with domination and control or for self-exaltation. But the existence of abuses by leaders who miss the heart of God can never justify rejection of the kind of order Scripture actually mandates. Let me say that again. This false teaching of governance grew out of reactions to leaders who have led with domination and control or for self-exaltation. But the existence of abuses by leaders who miss the heart of God can never justify rejection of the kind of order Scripture actually mandates. This unbiblical idea of church governance has gone beyond a reaction to abuses and has become an infection spreading into places where leadership has not been abusive or controlling. So, we have a lot of people who church hop. They start at church A, and the pastor says something that offends them, so they go to church B. They never got healed from church A, so they're over here at church B. Pastor at church B knows nothing about the person. Somehow, this person gets offended with pastor at church B. I'm going to church C. Pastor at church C knows nothing that went on at B and A. So, church C, you get offended. I'm going to church D. And the cycle keeps repeating itself. Why? Because you never dealt with the issue that your pastor was trying to deal with at church A. So as a leader, this is something that you need to kind of understand. All four of these pastors can't be wrong. You ever thought about that? You had the same problem here, the same problem here, the same problem here, and the same problem here. They all can't be wrong. You have to start looking at you. You have to identify what is your character issue that's causing you to do the dumb junk that you're doing. And until you do that, you're going to go to church E and F and G and on down the line. So deal with your problems. You know, I found that God puts us in relationships with our pastors because he's using them to get things out of us that are going to stop the ministry that he's given to us. And if you resist that, God will let you go. He'll let you do it. It breaks his heart. But eventually down the road, there's going to be another situation that's going to be similar, and it's still there. We have so many people who are in leadership who come from this type of background, and it's heartbreaking. And it's heartbreaking because they have such good potential. They have such good gifts and such anointings. But no one is ever going to be able to partake of it because this character issue is going to cause them to be offended at everything that they do. And that offense is going into the people that you're praying for. So God is not going to push you out there. He's not going to give you anything international until you deal with your character and deal with your heart. There's church scandal after church scandal after church scandal all over the internet. All over the world, all over the news. And you know what it is? It's people who didn't listen to the first pastor, who didn't listen to their first shepherd, and get themselves in check, and they just got bypassed. Well, they're super anointed. They can talk really good. They can make money by selling books. So we'll just keep putting up with it. We'll just keep doing it. And it doesn't do the person any good because they're going to hell. If you're in this type of situation, you're going to hell because you're in rebellion. You're in rebellion and disobedience. And the crazy thing about the anointing, the anointing is the anointing will stay on you for a certain period of time after you've sinned. And because that anointing is staying on you, it trips a deception inside of your mind. Well, God didn't take it away, so I'm all right. I can keep doing this. So I'm going to keep laying hands on people. I'm going to keep prophesying on people. And I'm not going to deal with this. But eventually you reach a point where you start operating in your own flesh. You're giving words out of yourself. A demon comes inside of you and produces healings in people. You don't want to do that. You don't, as a leader, you don't want to do that. So again, the character issue is very, very important. Good leaders are being diminished and dishonored. Good leaders are being diminished and dishonored. The body of Christ is being weakened by this co-equal teaching. God called Moses to lead. Moses had a team in Aaron and Miriam who demanded equality in Numbers 12 and were sternly rebuked by God for it. Let's look at Numbers 12, 9 and 10. So the anger of the Lord arose against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was a leper. The issue was never whether or not Aaron and Miriam heard from God. It's not that you're not prophetic. It's not that God doesn't use you from healing. The issue was that they sought to pull Moses down from his appointed place of authority. You can't tell the leader that God has placed over top of you that they're not right. You can't tell the leader that God has placed over top of you that the corrective word that they just gave you was out of their flesh. You can't tell the leader that God has placed over top of you that they don't know what they're talking about and they're wrong and they're not seeing your heart. Yeah, they're seeing your heart. They're seeing your flesh and they're trying to do what God is telling them to do to help you correct it. But if you rise up in this attitude like Aaron and Miriam did, you're in for trouble. Legitimate challenges to those in leadership are legal and necessary. Any good leader humbly holds his heart open to do such things. But the spirit that seeks to pull a leader down to the level of false equality brings the judgment of God. The spirit that seeks to pull a leader down to the level of false equality brings the judgment of God. When people in a ministry begin to behave like Aaron and Miriam toward the authority God has established, then unless repentance comes quickly, those people who are involved in that fail and die of spiritual leprosy. The Apostle Paul, a man anointed of God for leadership in the church, traveled with a team which he clearly exercised godly authority. The churches he planted knew him as their apostle, and he expected obedience from them, not simply because he carried a mandate from God, but because he had led them with the heart of a father. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. On the basis of having fathered the church in Corinth in Christ, he carried the authority to discipline the people there. First he wrote, for if you were to have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. And this is true. There's so many people who will pastor a church and they don't want anything to do with the sheep. They hate the sheep. They have nothing to do with them whatsoever. This is crazy. And if you don't know this as a leader, there are business churches that are set up. They're there to get a head count. They're there to get seats and bodies, and they don't really care about the people. So don't be one of those. Don't get caught up in that mentality. These are the ones that are going around saying, well, how many churches have you visited? And how many people do you have? And my church sent me over to Africa. And my church did this for me. And my church did that for you. What are they doing for God? Do they have a heart that beats for God? Are there any real manifestations of his presence there? Or is it just something that a bunch of religious people get together and have a meeting? First Corinthians 4, 15 and 21. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 21. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? In Christ Jesus I have become a father to you through the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4:15. And then verse 21. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in a spirit of meekness? Without a doubt, Paul's spiritual son, Timothy, functioned as the pastor in authority over the church in Ephesus, even while working with elders who served as his team. So God wants to have this team structure set up, but it's not a co-equal team structure. There's a leader, and there's a hierarchy for things to go to. Paul wrote both 1 and 2 Timothy to exhort him to pick up his authority and exercise it, not allowing anyone to despise his youth in doing so. 1 Timothy 5:19 to 20. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. This is what Paul said. This is what Paul told to Timothy. Hey, you have to run the church like I would do it. You have to follow my lead. You have to do everything that I'm doing. Titus 1:5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. Set in order the things that are lacking. And appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. That sounds like government. That sounds like structure. That sounds like order. That doesn't sound like come in and do your own thing. I'll show up when I feel like it. I'll do whatever when I feel like it. No. That's set in an order. Your godly leader has to set things in order. If not, they're not going to get what God has ordained for them to have. So we can't come against them for doing their job. We need to help them do their job. To Titus, Paul delegated authority to appoint leaders and set the church in order. God never intended the church to be a democracy. He never intended for us to vote on what we want to do, how we want to do it. That wasn't his way. Never will be. Ephesians 4:11-13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. That's in the Bible. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. This is a direct admonition to us. Let them do this with joy and not complaining, for that would not be profitable to you. Focus on the word unprofitable. It implies loss when God's appointed authority is not respected. So when you're not respecting God's authority, you're going to experience loss. A true leader will be a good follower. John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus is the most perfect example of being a good follower. And so many times, people who want to be in leadership don't understand this principle and this concept. And they think that when you get in leadership, people are supposed to bow down to you and serve you. That's not what it's about. When you get into leadership, you're supposed to serve the people. You're supposed to serve the person that's over top of you. You're there to do the tasks that need to be done. I got married again in 2015, and I have teenagers, and some of the things that I do seem a little wild to them at times, but I kind of try to do a little bit of, hey, when you get out on your own, these are kind of things that you're going to have to do by yourself. So you're going to need to take the trash out. You're going to need to clean the dishes. You're going to need to wash your clothes. So it's kind of looking at me like strange, like, wow, mom does all of that now. You know, she does all that now. Well, what are you going to do when you move out? Is mom coming to your house? No, she's not. I'm not going to let her. But the concept is, I use Pastor Barbara an example. Every gifting, she has it already. Flows in it and moves in it. But she chooses to let people learn and grow in the ministry. She chooses to let people use the gift of healing, the gift of prophecy, the gift for doing deliverance. She has it. She already can do it. You know, my thing, I can take the trash out. Catherine can take the trash out. But how are they going to learn to do it if they don't do it? Same principle with you as a leader. If you don't do what's asked of you, how are you going to know what's going on? How are you going to know what needs to be done? You know, you don't know how to sweep the floor in here, what it takes to sweep the floor. Pastor Barbara certainly could do it. She's done it 1,000 times. But it needs to be other people taking on that responsibility and that weight. The other side of it is, she needs to be freed up to be able to study, to keep the anointing moving. In here for us. So, yeah, she can do it, but you've been asked to do it. So take that responsibility on and do what you're supposed to do. And it's funny because, you know, everybody wants to be right here standing behind this pulpit. But there's so many things that could be done behind the scenes that would glorify God even more, that never get seen, that never get, you know, the public recognition, but it's so much a part of the ministry and a part of what's needed for God. So keep that in mind, but that's a part of being a follower. You know, if you have a ministry that you're helping, find out what they need. Find out where they're going. Learn the vision. And do everything in your power to make that vision come to pass. If Jesus, with all of his power, with all of the power that he had, through God, could submit himself to God, then why can't you? If you, with all of the anointing that you have, could submit yourself, why can't you submit yourself to your leader? The problem with the body of Christ is that they're looking for a quick way to the top. And there is none. There's no quick way. I've been here about 25 years now, and I've seen people come, and they get fired up, and they get excited, and then they reach that point where the correction has to start coming. You know, you need to fix this character flaw. You need to do this. You need to do that. And they rear up. I'm anointed. You can't tell me this because I am God's chosen. Yeah, but the character flaw is still there. And it's resisted to the point that they walk out the door and then you never hear from them again. It is the saddest thing in the world to say. But then there's others who come in and they do that. I'm anointed. And it's like, no, yeah, you are. But if you don't fix this, you're not going to go any further than what you are. Oh, really? Is that? Oh. Well, help me, please. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm totally dumb. Lead me. Those people get to go to the next step because they have a humbleness of heart. You see the difference there? It's key. And don't set yourself up for fall. Don't leave because of who you think you are. Sometimes people take their prophetic words out of context. I'm good for doing this on multiple occasions. Now, I thank God saying one thing to me, and it's actually something else. But you need to start listening at the word that was taught before you got your prophetic word. So if you're listening to the sermon and God's talking about love, 9 times out of 10, the prophetic word that you get after church is going to be bouncing back from that word that he got during the message. Check this out. See if I'm telling the truth. And if you will learn how to get the message that was preached and filter it through your prophetic word, you would go so much further because you would be able to apply just all of these principles that God just spoke in this message tonight and the message that was spoke this morning. And those you got prophetic words this morning, you need to bounce that prophetic word off that message. And there's things that God spoke that were definitely pulled from that message. So you're trying to interpret it based upon what you want. I want a mate. I want a house. I want a car. God said, I'm giving you the desires of your heart. But really, he's talking about ministry. But because you're focused on something else that had nothing to do with the message, you're missing God. You're missing what he wants to do in you, through you. So, you get on a little mountain, you go around, and you stay on that level. Come right back to the same point, you get the prophetic word, and it's funny because God will repeat a message. He'll repeat a preached message, and certain people will come back at certain times because they're on that track, and they've come full circle around. It's time for them to go higher on that mountain. And here's the choice. All right, are you going to deal with your character flaws so that she can go up to the next level? Or you have to go back around on that lower level? There's a lot. There's a lot that God's trying to show you. Nancy, can you skip down to the oxes? These are my oxes, my buddies. When I put together a revised deacon manual that Pastor Barbara asked me to put together, an elder's manual, I put this in here because, again, God puts us in relationships. You're in relationship with Pastor Barbara. You're in relationship with whatever pastor you go to, and whatever fellowship you go to, and Your pastor is the strong lead ox. So you're yoked up together. And the strong ox is used to working. constantly, consistently. You're not. You're like, oh, this is too much. I can do this for a little bit. But the strong ox is still saying, yeah, we got the rest of the day to go through. It's only been a half hour. Can't stop now. I got to keep moving. So they're yoked up together going around in circles. And the young one's like, oh, my God, when is this going to stop? This is too much. And the strong oxen's like, ah, this is nothing. I've been through this thousands and thousands of times. Sometimes the young ox is like, nah, I don't want this life. So they break the yoke and they stop the movement. The older ox is pushing them on. You still got to move because we're yoked up together, and you got to move. You got to go forward. So see yourself in leadership as being yoked up to someone who is stronger, more wisdom, more knowledge, more anointing, and they're there to help you. They're not trying to kill you. They're trying to help you out to survive. If you can learn from their mistakes, if you can learn from their successes, you're going to be 1,000 times better. I was telling somebody yesterday, I know Pastor Barbara wants me to far exceed her. I do, because she's my spiritual father. And a true father wants their children to do better than them. And there's never any jealousy. There's never any competition, because that's her heart. That's her nature. And I thank God for that, because of that, I've been able to grow so much as I have. But if you don't look at that and see that as a benefit, as a gift, you could look at your leader and say, my anointing is deeper than hers. My gift is stronger than hers. And get lifted up in pride and break the relationship that God meant to last for a lifetime and destroy what God wants to do in your life. You need to value that relationship. You need to value the leader that God has placed in your life. It's meant to be a lifetime commitment, not a 2-year stint, in and out, just do my thing. This thing about co-equal leadership, you have to understand that this is out there, and you have to understand that it really is a doctrine of demons that the enemy is trying to destroy the church with. Father, I just thank you for this teaching. I thank you for the things that you put upon my heart to share tonight. I pray that they would go deep within the spirits of your people. And I pray, Father, that as we go forward from this moment forward, that we will be the leaders that you're calling us forth to be, that we will not try to break the yoke, but that we would stay, that we would learn, and that we would grow and be what we're supposed to be. And Father, we just thank you for all of the spiritual fathers. We pray that you would strengthen them. We pray that you would encourage them, and that you would give them all of their heart's desires in this season. And Father, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been one who's had a rebellious heart or rebellious nature towards leadership, the altar call is for you to come up so that you can surrender that and get the Lord to touch you to remove that rebelliousness. If you didn't understand what this whole process that God was trying to do with you was, the altar calls for you. Come up. Repent and ask the Lord to change you. There is too much that he wants to do in your life for you to miss him and to miss the call that he has placed in your life.